is the podcast to the show. You can listen to or know.
Welcome to our Ted Lasso talk, the Tedcast. Welcome, all Greyhound fans. Welcome, all you sinners from the dog track, and all the AFC Richmond fans around the world. It's the Lasso way round these parts with Coach Coach and Boss. Without further ado, Coach Castleton.
Who in the fuck would take the time to lie about that and videotape it? Like, that's my honest reaction. So, like, part of me getting taken here is me going, yeah, but that's fucking dumb. It's like you, like, talking me out of the lint in my pocket, like, oh, I got him. I'm like, did you, though? Like, I don't. You've got the lint in my pocket. You're crafty. What?
That was some of the most masterful timing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I just went for it. I was like, I'm going to just keep going. I was like, I'm going to just keep going. Just what he wants. I'm just going to pretend I didn't see it.
Listen. Hello, beautiful people. Here's what happens sometimes. We log into our podcast recording studio. And sometimes Coach and Boss beat me in here, and they genuinely enjoy each other. So I will come in. When I come in, it's like, you know, you play the Imperial March because everyone quiet. Dad's here.
Yeah, there he is.
They were in the middle of a topic, and I immediately yelled at them, and I was like, "No, we're going to talk about this on air. Stop talking about it." And went to get a cup of coffee. And when I came back, they were on another topic, equally passionate. So, Coach, what did we just walk in on?
There's this whole subset of social media posts that claim to be satire or any number of things, and they're just dumb lies. Like, here's me having an argument with my, in quotes, girlfriend about who's going to do the dishes in our not actual apartment. And then we're going to put that out and people are going to argue about that. But I'm like, but what? Like, it's not funny and it's not particularly illuminating. And neither of you are what is the point of this? And why are you telling me that you two are a couple when I just watched another video of you and your one's on the bus and the other one's trying to get on? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, I this should not be shocking to me in any way, but I read the other day on Reddit maybe that somebody's buddy played one of the guys who was being cheated on the TV show Cheaters. And like, I know that reality TV is not real. I understand that it is. I actually, like, a couple that are friends of a friend did House Hunters International. And on House Hunters International, they came into the couple's home that they owned then and took out all the furniture and then showed them this house. Like, showed them a couple of other houses too, but was like, which one do you think you're going to... So I know that it's not real, but there's something about, I'm going to write a story where somebody cheats on somebody else, and then I'm going to film it as if it is a real life story because the story itself is uninteresting. Like...
Right. It's only interesting if you think someone just happened to catch this on their cell phone. Right.
Yes, exactly. And this is and I'm not even knocking that as its own art form. It's just sort of fucking weird when people are like, oh, this is satire, one of the things we mentioned, or this is trolling. Right. I'm like, this is a lie. What you're telling a lie. And it's fine. I enjoy lying. But like, own up to the fact that you are creating a story whole cloth and framing it in this way because the device of the story is better than the story itself. And then move on. I will read your Am I the Asshole that is so outlandish and wild.
Come on, there's no fucking way. Right.
But let's not pretend that this is you're lying. You're just lying for fun. That's fine. That's okay.
And I love that you point out, because I get into stuff like this all the time. And the internet, you may be shocked to learn, is not the place for linguistic nuance. I keep learning the same lesson. It's very Bill Murray, Groundhog Day-ish. Uh-huh. Like, I should learn how to play the piano so I could sing a song about it. But yeah, like, it's weird to me that people say, oh, this site is satire. Like you just point out, I'm like, nope, that has a meaning. That's a word with a meaning. And
yeah,
this is not, like, I don't give a fuck what it is. Frankly, enjoy yourselves. But it's not satire. and you wasted my time.
And this is some of the shared sort of, I think that we've been on this topic around it for the past few days, maybe weeks or so, about how saying that somebody has a different perspective is fine. Obviously, they're going to have a different perspective. But there need to be some common truths that society owns.
Yes.
Just in order to function.
Yeah.
For example, I just saw the other day that Zack Snyder, writer-director, that he did Justice League and Man of Steel, a few of the DC movies, and then a few of the other ones that he wrote that are a little bit weirder, might actually be more fun. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, but I've seen a lot of his movies. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast saying that his most recent movie, Rebel Moon, which was released on Netflix only, was probably seen by 160 million people. Which he didn't cite facts. He didn't cite numbers for that. He just, something about how Netflix told him probably it was 160 million.
Go on, because you're running the risk of us not making it to Wayne, nor Ted Lasso, nor anything else. Mm-hmm. You're going into a serious rant zone for me. Go on.
So he says probably 160 million people watched Rebel Moon, and that if you consider each average ticket sale would be about $10, that means that the movie probably grossed $1.6 billion. So probably more people saw his movie than saw Barbie, and probably his movie would have made more money than Barbie.
Obviously.
And I'm like, okay, my only issue with your argument is it did not. It didn't, because you didn't release it in the box office. It was released on Netflix. It didn't go to the theater.
My only issue with this is that it is bullshit. But yeah, other than that, it really stands up.
I think it's a great take, except that it's, you know, factually
inaccurate. Yes. Yeah, just like, other than reality, yes, no, that argument is great. I don't know what to tell you, buddy, 100%. But none of your movies have made $1.6 billion.
This was Zack Snyder?
Yes.
I don't want I don't want to always be the Zack Snyder apologist here. I will tell you that Netflix, it's a thing they do to certain filmmakers. Yes. We have friends who have written films that have debuted on Netflix, and they all do the same calculus. Yeah. They get it from Netflix because Netflix says, hey, listen, if we're comparing apples to apples, you would have made $45 billion. This is basically the biggest film in the history of the planet. And then they factor in, they'll tell you how many eyeballs you got in Malaysia. And then people start to add the numbers up. But listen, it's good for the filmmaker. I'm not going to defend it. I didn't see that film and I don't know anything about it. But I will say that, like, if it's a way for the filmmakers to get their films made, I'm all for it making more films. So,
this is the thing. Number one, Netflix is bullshit and they should have actual streaming numbers and they should pay residuals on those streaming numbers. That is like,
wait a sec, boss. They pay up front. Listen, hold on. In all fairness, they do a thing. Amazon does this too. It's a different structure. And it's not that they don't pay the residuals. They don't pay residuals, but they have a model that's different. The model is like, we think it would be this, so we're just going to give you that money up front. We'll pay you that as part of the overall deal. And a lot of people are like, you know, for some filmmakers, it's like, oh, do you want you hit the lottery? Do you want the payout, over 25 years? Or do you want, a percentage of it right now so you can invest it? And so it ends up being like that. I'm defending some very questionable things.
There's some weird
shit
happening. Yeah.
I don't like where this is going at all.
What I will say is that I understand that they have a model. What I am saying is that model is bad. I am saying that I don't like that business model because what it essentially does is TV shows that people are watching over and over and over again that do have continued value aren't seeing any additional profit from putting out a show that people still want to watch 20 years from now.
We could spend the entire time talking about the Netflix model. It's worse for shows because there's no incentive for them to do a third season.
Yes.
So if you understand the concept about how they do it and that it is actually a company run by an algorithm and everybody gets a rating. So it's like everybody that they're going to potentially go into business with has a rating. And the closer you are to this certain number that they have, the more bankable, like it's an approval rating based on like how they think your marketability is. And so, you know, inside the church of Netflix, you will have people be like, hey man, I got a like 1.2 rating. Like Jesus Christ. Like, you know, like, yeah. Oh my God, I've never broken 0.3. Like it's crazy. It's crazy. And listen, you don't have to like the model. I don't want to give the impression that we're saying like, oh, these people just get ripped off and don't get paid. The incentive is not there for, they don't get more money based on the more people that see it.
As an accountant, what I will say is, if those are your numbers, show me your numbers. Like, give me the evidence that 1.6 million people, or 160 million, whatever it is, how many people watched your movie? Like, show me that, or else what you just said is lying. What you just said is, maybe it's true, but it doesn't matter, because unless you back it up, it has no relevance on the conversation. If somebody told Zack Snyder that 160 million people watched his movie, fucking great. Number one, unless 160 million people got Netflix subscriptions in order to watch Rebel Moon, aka Dario Naharis version 1.0, Dario Naharis version 2.0, which is, as far as I can tell, what the movie is about. That's it. Just the two actors who played that role on Game of Thrones facing off. Unless you can tell me that that is how much money he brought in. He didn't bring in that money. That's not how
works. I know, but okay, so, yes. But he did get those. Netflix has those numbers. Okay.
Okay. Show me.
So I'm not gonna. Yeah. Well, it's a. There's a lot of reasons why though they're not. I know, boss. I know.
Guy, listen. You gotta understand, guy. It's wicked simple. Everybody complains about child abuse, but have you ever had to deal with a lippy 3-year-old? I didn't fucking think so. Next topic. Kittens. I mean, fuck them. Next topic.
I
don't want to run down any artists.
About dragons is this. You try breathing fire and not ever burning anything down. Next topic.
Yeah, you need to eat some goat sometimes.
I am really not trying to be reductive. But hold on, the point is, let boss go.
I jumped in there with my foolishness.
No. Today is International Women's Day, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about a boy. That's all.
No. And I understand that. But what I would like to point out, my larger rant about Zack Snyder saying this, is not that I disagree with Netflix's business model, and not that I dislike that Netflix could say 160 million people watch this movie and never back it up, and nobody ever calls them on that. What I am saying is that we have had in place for decades, as long as Hollywood has been an industry, we have said, if your movie makes money, we will make more movies like that. And when the next thing comes along, we're going to make more movies like that. And if you prove yourself to be profitable, we are going to give you another shot to make another movie. And Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie made a movie that made $1.5 billion. I said it wrong because I was expecting it to be less than that. $1.5 billion. That means that they won. Those are the rules. The rules say they made a profitable movie and they get to do it again. And what Zack Snyder just said was, well, I don't know. I feel like my movie was better. I think maybe my movie actually did make more money, if you think about it.
It's interesting. This has come up in a totally different realm, but I think it plays to what you're, in some way, it plays to what you're talking about. Caitlin Clark, for those of you who don't know, American collegiate women's basketball, which, wake up. No, it's actually it's quite good and better than men's basketball, in my opinion, but that's my opinion. Anyway, but Caitlin Clark's amazing and just broke the all-time NCAA scoring record. And all over the internet, it's all these people explaining that Pistol Pete Maravich, if you think of what he did and change it to something he didn't do, mm-hmm. and then add that number to the number mm-hmm. that he did do, plus this percentage of what Caitlin did, then actually he's still the best. And I'm like, that is super fucking interesting that everybody's a goddamn mathematician all of a sudden when this woman finally put the biscuit in the basket more than anybody else. That's how it works.
Hold on, this is not a matter of fucking opinion.
We counted the points, and she has the most. Everyone else can shut the fuck up. Like, what are we discussing?
No. Yep.
Well, listen. If you take her points, okay, and you know those canisters that squirt cheese whiz? If you take, you put her points like on a table, let's say, just her points are on that table. Then you take one of those cheese whiz canisters, okay? And then what you do is you push it, but instead of cheese coming out, like a big flaccid penis.
Yes, just her points.
Then you'll realize, no, she doesn't.
Not so great.
No, yeah,
not that's great.
Yeah, no, she didn't. Yeah. Well, listen, if you think about it, like, okay.
Thank you. I
understand that Serena Williams has won more tennis titles than any other player in the history of the game.
Yes.
But if you think about it, if she had been playing in the 1950s, when she would have gotten beaten in the parking lot before getting to the stadium, she probably wouldn't have done that well.
In fairness, that's true. Yeah.
Welcome to our podcast, everybody. Welcome. I am your host, Coach Castleton. With me, as always, is Coach Bishop and our boss, Emily Chambers. I'm going to race through these things because, you know what? Listen, it is International Women's Day. We have a lot of women to celebrate. There's a lot of great things happening in the world of women. Some strange things happening in the world of women. I'm so happy the coach brought up new scoring champion. I think that is say her name again, boss. I mean, coach.
Caitlin Clark.
Okay, good. This is really good. I have a few women's soccer players I'm going to bring up today that I'm very excited about. There are some wins happening. On International Women's Day, are you guys familiar with the Oompa Loompa lady? Are you familiar with her?
No.
Vaguely, this is a Willy the Chocolate Man thing.
Yeah. So,
I don't know this. Sorry,
total scam in Scotland where this dude did a Willy Wonka festival and he sold it using AI imagery. And when people showed up, it was worse than a second grade dance. It was so brutal. And this picture made the rounds of this poor woman who was hired for the event.
Oh, dear
God. Who dressed like an Oompa Loompa, and she looks like really, really like angry. She has become an internet sensation because there's all these pictures of her just trying to make the best of it and being nice to little kids. And, you know, she could see how hard, she apparently yelled at the guy that put it together and was like, what the hell? Like, you know, this is terrible. And since then, she's been like on talk shows
and
she's got now a Cameo account and Gen Z has labeled her mother, which is one of the highest things you can do as a generation.
You saw my reaction. Like I was like, I had no idea we were discussing royalty here.
My
goodness.
She's so mother. And so it is really wonderful. One of the women I want to mention, we also have I want to talk about U.S. Soccer player Katarina Macario, who tore ACL and had the type of injury recovery where you go, damn it. She was supposed to be the next big thing. She's supposed to be the next best player in the world, like a LeBron-type thing.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. She's superstar. And in her first year of play, tore it and missed the World Cup and, you know, just really disasters. And then you heard whispers like, she's not healing right. You know, is there follow-up surgery? That sort of thing. And I want to report that she came back to her club team last week and played for Chelsea, which is a club team in England, and scored right away. 20-month ACL recovery.
Oh, wow.
Almost 2 years for her to get back to the pitch and came back and scored right out of the gate. I want to talk about Taylor Swift being related to Emily Dickinson, which is
that true?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I totally checked out. I'm like, wait, Joe Biden's president? What? No, but seriously, I'm so out of touch right now.
There was another game, U.S. in the Gold Cup, which is like the qualifying tournament. For the next World Cup, you had like a real scrappy match with Colombia. Colombia known for being a little chippy. They're a tough team, great team, but they will not back down. And if you're Colombian and you've been in the United States' shadow for all these years, you know, you're like, fuck the United, you know, like, and they're like legitimately good now. Like Colombia is like, they have some players. Mm-hmm, they have some, a couple young superstars on their way up. But they are known for it, South American teams generally play real physical, and there's more than just the physical game they want to get in your head. And so Alex Morgan, who's our sort of veteran player on the United States team, she was getting really roughed up to one point. Like it got like real, like chest on chest, like people in her face. And she was surrounded by four players. And 2 years ago, a player named Trinity Rodman, this is Dennis Rodman's daughter. She kind of came on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen stuff about her.
She rubbed people the wrong way a little bit right out of the gate. She was very young when she got in. She got a $1 million contract to play professional soccer. She was sort of like made it right onto the U.S. national team. She's truly capable. She's like super capable. But she rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way. And she was like a little bit like over her skis with how she was dealing with the public. And I want to honor the fact that Alex Morgan is a goddess, and she has, her numbers are so crazy in soccer. What she's done for this sport, what she's done for the team, what she's done for women's soccer worldwide is amazing. But Trinity has grown up. And when Alex Morgan got surrounded the other day, all of a sudden, some other player comes flying in and gets between Alex and the other four girls. And I'm like, who is that? It's Trinity Rodman. And then there's these, you're just like, oh my God. Like, are you, you know what I mean? You're just like, yes. Because she was the type of person where you kind of thought, I think she thinks she's better than the veterans. You know, like she's got the level of talent where she's like, listen, old ladies, I know what I'm, you know what I mean? Like, get out of my way kind of thing. And now she's in there sort of like doing everything right. And I saw these clips of her with the fans, and people were comparing how great she was with the fans. She would take people's phones and take selfies of herself with the fans and just like very patiently going through the entire, everybody who wanted something from Trinity got something from Trinity on the sidelines. And they were saying, oh, she went to the Alex Morgan school of fan interaction. And it's like, that, to see that level in 2 years, she's 22 now or 21. That is so impressive to me. You know what I mean? It is like watching someone grow in front of you. And as a player, she's legit. So anyway, I just want to mark that on International Women's Day because I was like, that is wonderful.
I don't know why I just saw this. I'm going to just toss this in. I didn't know we were going to be discussing International Women's Day. But I did see this, which is that the greatest search on International Women's Day happens to be for International Men's Day.
Shut up.
Certainly that no other day is International Men's Day, including actual International Men's Day. On no day is it searched for, that's what it was. On no day are there more searches for International Men's Day than on International Women's Day, which is so deep and speaks.
Yeah.
It's like, so it's so deeply fucked up. Like I laughed when I first saw this. That's what it, because I was like, there was something very clear about it, and that's what it was. And it's so deep that you good and well know why there's an International Women's Day, and all you're trying to do is prepare your horrific argument against it. Like that's all you're doing. You, for 364 days, you didn't even consider that there might be a need or desire for an International Men's Day, but just to be that guy, off to Google you go. So,
yeah, no, those are wonderful people. For those people wondering when International Men's Day is, it's the same day as International White People's Day. So, and by that, I mean it, every fucking day. Every day.
Yeah.
It's Christmas for white people and men.
That's hilarious.
This is up there with, I'm not going to get all the details absolutely correct, so apologies up front, but when they had I don't know, maybe like Trans Visibility Day or something. Not even, we can't even yet say like, hey, we're going to celebrate trans people. We're going to celebrate people who, no, it's just, we're going to acknowledge that they exist. It's visibility. It's literally, hey, we can physically see you with our eyeballs is all.
You're allowed to be in public. Like this is where we are.
You're allowed to be literally actually seen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then there were a number of, and just, this is what they are. So this is how I'm labeling them. Republican members of Congress very specifically were saying, oh, well, how come we're not having a military recognition day? Why aren't we having military family and spouse recognition day? Why aren't we doing anything for military families? Because nobody wants to talk about our soldiers or their families. And other people had to be like, it's in November. We have it. It is in November.
Did you see my face? I was like, what's happening? That's a thing.
You know so little about the thing that you were trying to attack that you are using something else to back up how we should be having these things. You don't even fucking know that we do. You don't give a shit about the military or the military families.
Right. That's the
point. The only thing you like to do is use the military as a weapon against other people that you don't like. You're so fucking out of your element. You have no idea at this point.
It's absolutely galling. But that doesn't surprise me 1%. Like of course. And as you were saying it, I was like, but that doesn't.
We definitely have that. We're the fucking USA. Like,
what's happening right now?
We don't spend money on shit except for the military. And maybe we don't spend that much money on veterans, but we at least spend some money on active duty soldiers.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different thing.
It's a whole other bullshit.
We just, and a poor Coach Castleton is desperate to like grab the wheel, and I'm just like all over the place here. But it's outrageous. But we just voted in California, actually. I need to double check. I'm pretty sure it passed on what they were calling Measure One. And it was all this spending because there is a significant part of this homeless population and some of the other issues that are vets. Like, it's just, you know, you can't.
Yeah.
Well, you can because we do. But to me, you can't just like break people and then be like, you know, thank you for your service. I think we've got to put these people back together again. We broke them. Like, we broke them. We should try to fix that? No? Should we argue about it? So, anyway. But hopefully, there's going to be some improvement in California, because I'm like, this is so deeply fucked up.
Yes. Yeah. And we thank everyone who has served and continues to serve, and Thank you to the men and women who keep us safe and put themselves on the line. Sometimes it is a practical matter to join the armed forces. Sometimes it just ends up being people have done the numbers and say, okay, if you can keep education low enough and keep the cost of living high enough, you will force a certain percentage of people into the bosom of the military. I mean, it's reprehensible, but for the people that have been backed into the corner and then serve the country, we thank you. And yes, the veterans who come home should be treated like it's orders of magnitude better than they are being treated. We really need a complete reevaluation of how we view service in this country and in this world, not just in the military, but public service is something that has slipped. We're going to get into that as we talk about our last person. I want to bring up a funny thing, which is on International Women's Day. Maybe the most prominent and one of the top three best female women's soccer players in the world. Her name is Sam Kerr. She's an Australian. She's like more popular in Australia than like Hugh Jackman. You know, she's more popular than she's just like she is the darling of that country. She plays professionally in England for a club named Chelsea. I just mentioned Chelsea. Kat Macario plays for them as well. They have a team. Oh my God. They just signed this superstar named Myra Ramirez from Colombia, who I said Colombia's got some up and coming players. I think it was the highest paid signing in history to get this Colombian player to play for Chelsea. anyway, Sam Kerr, runner-up to the Ballon d'Or last year, meaning the best player in women's soccer. Then this story comes out a couple days ago where it's like she's being charged in an incident. And then the whispers are that she made some kind of racial comment. And it took the police in England 10 months to charge her, which I was like, if this was a man playing for Chelsea, for the Chelsea men's club, you think that somebody would have been charged over there? And I'm like, this has got to be horrible, right? It's got to be horrible. They had to like deliberate 10 months. Now we hear whiffs of sort of racial overtones. And everybody braces themselves. We all go, oh, God, I love Sam Kerr. Please. She's mouthy. Sam Kerr is mouthy. I love her. She's brash. She's Australian. She won a tournament one time nobody thought she could win. And in the interview, she said, oh, yeah? She's like, so suck on that one. That was what she said to all her critics. Suck on that one. So if you love that and you love somebody – thumbing their nose at the people that are sort of oppositional to her. You like this? I've always been amazed by Sam Kerr. She is truly like a legend in the sport. What she can do, I've seen her like jump in the air, twist and spin, and kick a goal like behind her back, like things that should not be possible. You're like, that's not fair. Like that's not human.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Yeah, no, men, women, it doesn't matter. That's an alien. You're an alien species because that shouldn't be possible. She's so good. So anyway, all of us who love Sam Kerr go to bed with our stomach in knots. We wake up the next day to find out that what she did was she got – I mean, when you think racial, you think a lot of horrible shit, right? And you could be anything. But it turns out she was apparently drinking – there was an incident in the back, I don't know, back of a car or something where she was sick. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but she apparently called a cop a stupid white bastard.
That is technically racial.
Was he not white? Because otherwise, that feels like identifying.
I mean, like the whole thing is like, okay, yes, it is that right. We ideally, in a better world, we shouldn't race should not come in to any conversation of bastards. You can be a standalone bastard of any race, right? Ideally, in a perfect world, right?
Right.
When you're calling someone a bastard, you want to be one of those liars that says, "I don't see color." But the thing about this is, you hear this and you know who Sam Kerr is and you know, like what kind of like, she's like a truth teller. She doesn't mince her words. Right. And among myself, I was talking to my daughter about it, who's a big soccer fan and on these message boards. And we're like, what percentage of likelihood is it that the person she called a stupid white bastard is in fact a stupid white bastard? Like, what's the Venn diagram here? You know what I mean?
You're like, the circle.
Yes, it is a circle. It is a circle.
Right?
That is exactly what it is.
I'm like, and this is
absolutely
what she's getting. So anyway, so the plot thickens because, well, this is where we are right now. So every one of us breathes a sigh of relief and we go, oh, thank God, Sam Kerr. All right, she's like a legend. Yeah, we can still, whatever. Now they say they have body cam footage and, you know, there may be some, when you're like, okay.
Is he going to be okay? Is he all right? After Sam Kerr called him a stupid white bastard, is he going to finally figure out how white people are going to make it? I mean, come on, man.
It's tough for white people out on those streets, yeah.
I mean, seriously, like, we're really going to do this? But okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, that part's pretty crazy, yeah.
So this reminds me, I'm rewatching 30 Rock right now, which... there's some shit that I'm like, oh, that was incredibly of its time and is not holding up super well. Not a lot.
It in years, but yeah.
But by and large, it's mostly. I also like to take the view that unless it was uncalled for at the time, if that was sort of where comedy was, I'm going to give it a little bit of leeway. I also wouldn't say like, I wouldn't put it on for my nieces right now. I wouldn't be like, oh, don't worry about that gay joke. It's totally fine. Like. There's
interesting.
I get it.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah,
this is
yeah,
because
yeah.
I watched it the first time around that I can get into it. Anyway, the point of all of this is that on the show, one of the writers calls Liz Lemon, played by Tina Fey, who creates and runs the show and is everybody's boss, and calls her a cunt. She overhears him saying that. They obviously didn't say this on NBC in the aughts, but so what she says is, you can't use that word if there is not an equivalent word that I could use against you. So, like, what is the word that I use against a dude that is the equivalent of cunt?
Yeah.
And there isn't one. And so this is why. If you're if you're a person of color, you could say white. You could say white with the derogatory dripping off your tongue. And I'm like, well, that's fine. Like, what are you going to call me, a cracker? That's no, a honky.
What but are we you discussing?
You tell me what
How
you're going to
call
me.
Dare you say cracker?
Madam.
Honky.
I mean, this is, I even remember, I am old enough now that when...
they're not even good slurs.
Sir Mix-a-Cup. Like, they're no good slurs.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
not good.
Sir Mix-a-Lot came out bastard. With...
That's as good as it's going to get, yeah.
When Sir Mix-a-Lot had in his song, Even White Boys Gotta Shout, Baby Got Back, I remember there being some stupid white people who were like, well, that's not... come on. Like, what are we getting upset about here? We're just going to bring race into this for no reason. I'm like, bitch, shut up.
Like, I mean, come on.
If you're the white boy that's getting upset about that line, you shouldn't be listening to the song in the first place. It's probably a hate crime somehow.
It makes me laugh whenever Hot Shell Ray has a song. I forget that what's the name of the song, but they say, like, even the white folks or something like that, like, about, like, everyone should dance. Like, even the white people or something.
Like, yeah, man.
Going, like, you white people around the edges at the club here. Yeah, just.
It's all right.
It's come okay.
On, get on
come
in on. Here.
But, yeah, everyone's welcome. But it makes me laugh. I'm like, that's not.
It's yeah, it's just, I mean, it's, and this came, I guess, in part out of the thing with the searches, but it's that person. I always feel like I don't believe you that you're really making that point. I believe that you're trying to win so you can do whatever shitty thing it is you want to do next. But also, then I find myself going, and if you really do think that way, sweet Jesus. Like, I can't. I don't have the lifetimes to help you through why your thinking is a catastrophe. Like, your thinking is such a mess. I don't even have, what? Like, it never occurred to me to look for International Men's Day. Maybe that makes me a bad man, but I'm like, what? Like, why? For what?
Yeah. For what? No. And this is the same bullshit thinking that led Zack Snyder to say, probably my movie was better than Barbie. Probably. And, if you think about it, probably. Because then white people could say, like, well, if you're bringing up race, then obviously this is... It is a tool of saying, you don't get to have the rules apply to you in the same way, because the rules are designed in order to benefit me. So the rule is, I come out on top.
And that part, it's that the actual rule is, I come out on top.
Yep.
That's the actual. And that's what you reacted to with Zack Snyder. And that's why I like, because I know, like, and I've been on the side of it where somebody who I'm rooting for gets the great Netflix numbers and it's all hooting and hollering and whatever. So I don't want to act like now, like, oh, they don't matter. But what you were reacting to is, when you just shared it, it's not about how many eyeballs or any of this. It's that you needed to do all that calculus to make sure we understood that the boy movie beat the girl movie, and we're not doing this.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Fucking absolutely. This is, speaking of movies that maybe didn't hold up super well, Big Daddy, Adam Sandler. I know I've mentioned it before, but Julian, the little kid, is playing cards one time. And he says, I got a 6 and an 8 and a jack, and I win. And Rob Snyder, because he's a child, both in real life and the movie, says, it's bullshit. Should be same set of rules for both people. And he's right. But also the kid was like, the rule is I win.
Because I win.
That's how it goes. Do you not know?
Yeah, that's a thing.
This is why Tucker Carlson gets to pretend that he is cool in addition to all of the other things that he gets to pretend that he is. Well, why shouldn't I be? When have I ever had anybody say no to me on anything?
About please. We don't, even this podcast doesn't have the time
Ted Lasso would not take time for Tucker Carlson.
Whew. There are few people, like, there are definitely people who I just see them and I don't need context or provocation. Like, I'm like, all I want is 5 minutes. I don't feel like that's a lot to ask. If we're all honest, I feel like it's a public service. But even if it's not a public service, all I ask is like, he is definitely on that
list. Yeah.
I think he is. Ugh, he's the worst of everything we just described, and then somehow like concentrated. And I'm just
It's that he's so off-putting in addition to everything else.
Yeah,
like that's what I can't get past.
I'm like, yeah. Even if you were a liberal, I don't think I would like you. So to add all this to that is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm.
You're wrong, and I don't think you're that good. I don't think you're cool.
At all. Like, at all. Like, there are people who say things I find deplorable, who I am like, I get it. I get how people line up behind that person. I get how they dial in. Even if it's not my style, I get it. But him, I'm like, yeah, anyway. Sorry, Coach. Did you have an agenda or a thing you wanted to do?
I want to talk a little bit about, did I mention it's International Women's Day?
You did.
I want to, we have our audience is mostly women. And I always, I love that. I love that because this is our message. It's something we believe in. It's who we are as people. It's fundamentally our one of our guiding core principles. When men join the Buttercups, when men join our listening community, it makes me so happy because we talked about the male avatar and what we saw in Ted Lasso. And, I'm always confused why men, especially modern men, are so threatened by the concept of feminism and being a feminist, identifying yourself as a feminist. And on International Women's Day, I want to read a couple of my favorite quotes about this subject. And I want to say a thank you. It's a weird segue because we have a Buttercup named Eric. And Eric has been supporting us since last year. And I missed the email where Eric signed up to support us. So Eric was not part of the Buttercup site.
God damn
now,
it.
Now I got an email from somebody DM'd me on Twitter. This is Buttercup Brian. Brian did also not get into the site. So when I started looking into Brian's thing, I noticed, oh my God, there's a few other people who slipped through. What I did was I paid one of my nephews to set up my inbox so that it would filter when people sign up to subscribe. So it would go right to the top of my list. And he made a new folder for it that I wasn't, you know what I'm saying?
So the you're filter, waiting to see it.
Yeah, wait to see it. I said make him important. It's okay. A simple mistake. But some of these people have not been in the community site. And so I want to thank Eric because he joined today. And it was really got me really excited to see him in there. And thank Brian for reaching out to me so I actually could solve this problem. But I really like... You know, when we talk about the king of the Buttercups and the type of man that is attracted to Ted Lasso's message and our message, you know, it doesn't get better than Jeff. And I just want to thank all of the people who are in this with us and proudly identify as feminists and support just calling out the bullshit and the lack of equality and be there with us. And we really appreciate it. There's a few quotes that I pulled that I really liked. One is a huge part of being a feminist is giving other women the freedom to make choices you might not necessarily make yourself as a woman. Another one is if my feminism intimidates your masculinity, ask yourself why your masculinity is contingent upon oppressing me. Another one is feminism isn't about making women stronger. Women are already strong. It's about changing the way the world perceives that strength.
Yeah.
Real
quick, Coach, because I'll forget it. And I think John Thompson, who was a legendary college basketball coach for Georgetown, when he won his first, or when Georgetown with him as coach won their first NCAA championship, there was a lot of, and predictably, and I think rightly, frankly, a lot of talk about, oh, first black coach, first black coach, first black coach. And he stopped some people post game who were talking about that. He said, I really want to make sure we're not talking about this the wrong way, because to say I'm the first black coach suggests that finally there's a black person capable of doing this. And I was like, yeah. Like, I remember watching that clip and being like, yeah. Like, I hadn't thought about it exactly that way, but I was like, yeah. So when you just read that quote, it just made me think of that. And it's really important to see, like, yeah, no. It's not like we're helping women to being equal to men. That's not what the equaling part is. The equaling part's about the treatment, guys. That's what we're doing. Yeah.
That just reminded me of a quote from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who said that people would ask her how many women on the Supreme Court are enough. You know, how many people are enough? Do you remember this?
Yes.
And she said, it. When there are nine. And people get shocked. They go, oh, my God.
I golf clapped the first time I saw that. I was like, yes.
She says people get shocked. And she goes, but there's been nine men and no one's ever raised a question about that.
Ever. Ever. It's.
Oh, there we go. Oh, I love it. Boss just ran and got us.
Come on in here, boss.
Hold that up.
Come on
in here, boss. Hold that up, boss. We got to take a screenshot. I'm gonna take a picture. Hold on. Man. Oh, that's so good.
Yes. Wow. When there are nine, sweatshirt. That's awesome.
I love it, right? Awesome. And so we take this for granted. One last one that I really love. You don't become a feminist. Have you guys heard this one? I really mm-hmm. love it. This is my favorite of the bunch because I've thought about this the most. And it really resonates with me. You don't become a feminist. You're born a feminist. No one is born believing that women deserve less rights than others. The patriarchy teaches us that. Mm-hmm. Everyone is born a feminist, and either you mm-hmm. remain a feminist or you become a misogynist.
That's
And I was like, hot mm-hmm. diggity. When I first read that, I was like, mm-hmm. isn't that interesting? That's such a great take. Go ahead, boss.
There's so many things I want to say about this. One of the things I want to go back to very quickly is this idea of women. It's not about making women stronger. Women always have been strong. There's a bunch of layers of bullshit that go along with this because the patriarchy does, in fact, say women are not strong, women are weak, and we need to protect them. So it automatically lessens women's inherent power by saying you can't do these things, but then also expects them to be extremely strong and resilient and able to endure bullshit in other ways that we don't ask men to do. So we tell you you're weak, and then we make you need to be strong, and then we don't acknowledge the strength that you have. So that, like, there's a whole level of that where we should allow people to be the level of strong that they are and strong in the ways that they are. But I can't remember. I should have flagged it. I know that it was a black woman because they teach me really important things all the time. But one of the things I saw on Twitter maybe or someplace is I don't want to be strong. I want to be fragile.
Yes.
I want to be able to be fragile.
Yep.
I want to be treated delicately. I don't want to have the armor required to be a black woman in American society because it's fucking bullshit. And she shouldn't have to. Like, that is a thing where intersectionality comes into play so strongly because we tell people, we especially tell black women, if you are too strong, then you're an angry black woman. We don't want that. We don't want you to do that.
Let's not do that. Be careful now. Yep.
So you need to be exactly the right level of strong, even though we tell you that you aren't that, and even though maybe you're not fucking up for it all the time. And it's so much bullshit that we do.
Yeah, no, I wish I could remember because I saw it too and remember thinking like, oh yeah. And it makes wait, what the fuck? Like, that's not like, why are we testing everyone's resilience? Like, resilience, like that's the, in case of emergency, break glass reserves of ourselves. Like, we shouldn't just be like using that every day of the week. Like, what's happening right
now? Yeah. Like, there is something fucked up where, again, in just in terms of resources, we have all of the resources required for nearly every human being on the earth to make sure that they have a life free of hunger, poverty, being unhoused, like all of those things. And we're still like, oh, well, you better get tougher.
Oh, you know, the world's gonna be tough. You stop being such a pinko. If we tried to do something like that and feed everyone and care, give everybody health care, how would trillionaires be able to build penis-shaped rockets and go to space for 25 minutes? I just don't think you think things through. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't think. You know what I mean? So what's your answer to that?
Right.
So,
no, that makes a ton of sense. That's exactly because everybody knows that the rockets going to space 50 or 60 years from now will possibly lead to some sort of technology that then we could use to free the world of hunger. We need the penis rockets first, or, and then we could do the rest
Or, hear me out, we could build robotic women so that we wouldn't have to hear all the human women nagging all the time. Right?
We could, no, I mean let's, if we're gonna go down that road, I would like to point out
trillionaires.
I would like to point out that we have methods of obtaining and also storing semen from now until the end of civilization. So theoretically, we could get by without you.
You could clip us? Why we, the last we, man? I thought you were going unobtainium. I thought you were going to go unobtainium there. No. But yeah, no.
I'm just saying straight up, if we wanted to start killing off men just willy nilly whenever they piss us off.
It's a miracle you haven't. You talk about the great getting up day.
Coach, you do it. We talk about this.
We talk about this all the time. We're like, there's no good reason.
I've said it publicly. I've said it on social media. If one morning I wake up and the news is women are killing men around the globe, part of me is going to be like, we kind of had it coming. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying I want to be killed. I'm not saying I want to see my friends get killed. But I can't be like, huh? What? Yeah. Like part of me will be like, we had a good run, guys, but this day was always coming. Like, this is bullshit, man.
We said this on so many times where I read that one tweet I found where it said, hey, what if there were no men, who would protect women? And the response was, from who?
Right. You go, oh, yep. Yeah. Oh,
shit. Damn it. Anyway, International Women's Day, thank you to our boss, Emily Chambers. We have been doing this for years with you now, and you ruffle some feathers, boss. I'm not going to lie. There are some.
Wait, what?
There are some people. You have a knack. You dig your heels in. You got a perspective. We love you. We admire you. It's sometimes I know. You're an acquired taste, and but man, damn. It's been so much fun working with you. And then to close the loop of that, last night, you won't believe this. Last night, my better half, Juliana, flew to Los Angeles. She didn't fly last night. She flew a couple of days ago. But there was a concert in Los Angeles that she wanted to attend. It was a Madonna concert. And she has a lot of love for old school Madonna and growing up to that music. And so she said, I don't know if I'll ever get to see Madonna in concert. I really want to go to this. So she got tickets with a friend and flew out. And I had heard from a gentleman I like to call Coach Bishop, that his darling wife, Daphne, might also be at the concert. And so it turns out they were at the same concert. And Juliana texted Daphne right before the show and said, hey, you know, what section are you in? And it turns out, did you know this, Coach?
I haven't talked yet because I was
section over. They
walked to the aisle.
They just walked right up the aisle and they were right there.
Out of here. That's
so
great.
I'm waiting on remind Daphne to send. I'm waiting on pictures because she took them on her phone. But
she's probably going to surprise me because she didn't send them. I passed out last night, engaged in a little what I like to call THC TLC. It was lovely.
Oh, good, 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 good. I love that.
Again, it's okay for you to kill us because we don't do a whole hell of a lot. That's great. I love it, Coach. Good. Self-care is important. And when we talk about colonization, we talk about, I was thinking the other day, when I'm with my gaming group and I talk with my friends, I've mentioned that one of the guys is the son of two philosophy professors. So he just always pushes everyone's, you know, he just always challenging, questioning. And I was talking about Boss a little bit and I said, you know, she has this thing she says, where she goes, "No, you punch a Nazi." And I'm like, I love her. And I've always said this. I admire the clarity around it because I always want to extend an olive branch to everybody. And so when I said, yeah, you know, Emily always says, you punch a Nazi. And I'm like, where's the line where you don't punch a Nazi? He's like, oh, okay, yeah. He's like, so he sent me this thing from Karl Popper, philosopher Karl Popper with a K. And it's called The Open Society and Its Enemies. And one of the quotes in it was, "Anyone demanding toleration for the free expression of their views must allow the same toleration to the expression of views with which they disagree. Conversely, the intolerant cannot expect toleration." And I said, okay, there we go.
Yes.
Right? That, like, yes. That's generally, yeah, you punch a Nazi.
Yeah. And a sort of a related idea, and Daphne's heard this rant probably about 700,348 times, but good, and I use that word quite advisedly, but good people, the people in this world who are trying to make the world a better place for all the other people, often have their goodness, their values, their principles weaponized against them. Right? So now, oh, right. Yeah, yes. Soul tolerant, but now you want me to put out that burning cross. Like, get the fuck out. I'm not doing this with you.
Yes. Yes.
Do yeah, you want you, me man.
Oh, what? I gotta put out my
burning cross.
What the fuck are we discussing right now? And but they right? Am I? You know what I'm saying? Like they, yes. It gets presented as if like, oh well, you know. I'm like, no, absolutely the fuck not. Absolutely yes. The fuck not. So yeah, I mean yeah. So that's my version. That's my you punch a Nazi. But yeah, I'm like, okay, this is fucking way.
This is perfect. This is perfect because I want to highlight. We try not to get weighed into politics too much on the show. But I will say, with regard to the colonization of women, the hegemonic patriarchy that it sort of imbues its negative message to everyone who will listen, and specifically that reaction that you just did, Coach, is something that's happening all day today. With respect to it, wasn't strangely enough, you had United States President Joe Biden. Gave the State of the Union address. It's for those friends of ours outside the country. It is, I think they know, but I'll say it's the annual time where he sums up the, you know, all the progress that his administration has made and generally gives the, what they call the State of the Union address. Let's just know the State of the Union. After which there's always customarily a response from the one, there's only two political parties here because we're binary thinkers. We don't need more. We don't need your stinking badges. We don't need your stinking environmental parties or, you know, it's we just have trap. Two. We don't need any other, but it's a flip of a coin, one side or the other. Historically, the party who does not have the presidency responds. And it's always interesting to see who the other party sends up to do their response. And 100%. So the response Coach did for what the fuck are we even talking about? Last night, this is the conversation for those of you, when I said I walked in on Boss and Coach talking about something, this is the topic. And I said, no, you got to save it for game time. Last night, the Republican Party sent up a junior senator from, or freshman senator,
Alabama.
I guess they call it, from Alabama. Yeah, it's a first time senator. Her name is Katie Britt. And she gave an address, in response to the State of the Union. And the responses are so, what the fuck? Like, they're so, I've never in my life seen anything like the responses where people are like, I've never heard people say about a political speech, I'm like scared and creeped out. And I'm like, really, you're freaking me out, man. Like, there's no, I've never heard this before.
You're freaking me out. But yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah, go ahead, coach.
Hold on. Here's the thing. We're gonna to say that freshman senator Katie Britt from Alabama has been getting dragged.
Reaffirms
the usage of that term. You know the meaning of it, because I don't think I've ever seen someone get dragged in this particular way. So she's having a day. Now I will say this. I don't like making fun of women. I don't like, you know, like we say, listen, give women the benefit of the doubt. But when you heard what, Serena Joy said last, I'm sorry, Katie Britt, said,
yep, that's fucking it. Exactly. except that Serena Joy actually spoke with a regular voice, except she got up there and actually just fucking talked.
All right. But I'm going to let you take the lead, but here's what I will say. I want to say this from what Boss would call my Hufflepuff heart. I really wish that Senator Katie Britt, who is one of a very select number of people who can actually enact change, like make things happen on a global scale, I just wish she could see. Like, I wish she could step outside whatever her personal worldview is, because she actually has power. She can actually make things happen. And to see what she settles for, what she's been conditioned and bred and designed to settle for, like where she thinks like this is the scope of what my existence should entail when she's a U.S. senator, it breaks your heart. You just go, man, like, all kidding aside, we're going to have some fun at Katie Britt's expense, but I'll tell you that when you step back and you say, no, listen, because we talked about...
No, no, no. It's just funny to be like, just hold on, kids. The adult time's about to end.
Well, it's like nine Schadenfreude. We don't want to like... Okay, because here's the thing. Part of it is you go... You had like a blink twice sensibility to it where you're like, are you like safe? Are you okay? Like
there was the Stepford of it, but anyway, I am very curious to hear where Boss wants to go, because that last point in particular definitely got a reaction of some sort. So yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, Boss, tell us about them putting a woman in the kitchen to respond.
I don't.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't feel sorry for that bitch at all. That's how I feel about it. Absolutely not. Even an iota of feeling bad, feeling like, oh no, I'm worried about, I feel bad that you were so tricked into this. That what she was doing, and I can't even advise people to go watch it because it's extremely unsettling, but what she does is a very standard white woman, close to tears, so sad that people aren't understanding that she just wants everybody to get along really well. I just want to return to family values where everybody can sit around the kitchen table together with their own families, and please don't come to my house. I don't want you at my house, but I do want to sit at my... That's how she talked the entire time. And all of it was about returning to a time and a place that never existed, that never actually happened for the majority of women in the country. And she is doing it entirely because her proximity to patriarchal white men...
Yes.
Makes it so that she gets to feel better about herself than other people. And this is why I don't feel sorry for the bitch.
I don't feel sorry for her at all, especially because she went on Fox News the following morning this morning and kept saying she was horrible. I mean, she is a uniquely terrible person. And I'm very sorry that it happens to be a woman that we're talking about on International Women's Day. And I'm very sorry that to see the level of colonization and the level of... It's fucking crazy. Like, where I go, are you out of your fucking mind? Like, and just saying like this, it's like Trump talking points. You just go, she's like, oh, he's out of touch. And you're like, are you like, what? Oh, first of all, she sat there and she talked about a woman being raped. Okay. With a straight face, pretending to have emotion about a woman who was raped over and over inside the cartel system without saying, and if I had my way, if she got pregnant on those, from one of those rapes, I would force her to deliver. There's no ownership whatsoever. She will use someone's suffering to try to further her agenda, even though she doesn't have any fucking idea what her agenda is. And it makes me crazy. And I'm like, I just don't understand that the divide is so nuts because people weren't like, I kind of see where I wrote a tweet about it where I said, I thought Bobby Jindal was the worst speech, response speech. And he was bad.
I would pick Rubio, but Jindal was really bad.
100,000 likes later or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah, Rubio in the water was pretty bad. But I was like, I remember thinking Jindal was like the most flaccid response.
Yeah, no, he
but
was
this
terrible,
one was like, this wasn't like, oh, I kind of see her whatever. It's all like, that it's actively creepy. Like if this is what they think, the best person they can send up to, like inside the Republican ranks right now, they're talking about this is a disaster. This is a Hindenburg, and this is going to hurt the election because we're putting forward, this is supposed to be putting forward someone
who
really fundamentally gets it.
Right.
And everyone's going, what is this?
Well, there are a number of things because it really was a train wreck. So I'm going to have a little bit of fun first and say, that our conversation, Boss and I started out, and I confessed immediately that I, frankly, because I've been unplugging a lot, forgot it was a State of the Union. And then some text messages came through, and I was like, oh, yeah. But I was in the super sweet spot of being high, and I was like, I'm not ruining this for these folks. So I was like, I'm just going to stop checking my phone when it buzzes so that I don't get,
That was me texting, by the way.
It was that group. It was like, yeah, I had a couple of groups going and I was like, nope, quiet. I'll be back. And then I waited to come down out of there. And then when I was like, all right, fine. What are you fucking people? So then I watched. But the beauty of that was then I really sat and watched both the speech and the response because I didn't have anybody to text with and to interact with. That was over. And so while she was talking, I was laughing. And I was like, am I higher than I think? Because this is weird, right? Like I didn't have anyone else. So I was like, is she in a kitchen? Because she is one of 100 senators in this country. Why is she responding from it looked like a kitchen set. It looked like a sitcom. That may be her real kitchen. I don't know whose kitchen that was, but it was certainly cleaned and organized within an inch of its existence. With, you know, kids' pictures perfectly placed over one shoulder and fruit kind of in frame. So like, yes, I love my kids, but by no means am I saying we should feed our kids good food. It was really weird.
I don't appreciate that because that was not a set. That was her kitchen. And it's the kitchen where, frankly, they do a lot of worrying.
I was like, what's happening? What the fuck is happening?
I was like, oh, that's
the
worrying kitchen? Oh, yeah, that's
weird. Yeah, see, no, but really, yeah.
You're worrying, huh? Yeah.
And this
was so much better off 4 years ago. So much better off. I see why you'd worry now. Man, you know,
you know what? I don't remember anybody bothering me 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I'm pretty sure I was just like hanging out by myself. Mm-hmm. Nobody was really in my face. Mm-hmm. That I didn't have to deal with people. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's because a million people died because of the disease that the president.
My biggest problem with you is you're always focused on the negative.
Oh, it's just like
a million people died. Oh,
actually,
you
know what?
People died unnecessarily.
Yeah, where?
I mean,
a million people died.
You know what? This is all really fair, and I should point out it actually It wasn't 4 weeks ago or 4 years ago. It was actually 4 years and 1 week ago. Because I'm pretty sure it was March 15th.
There was a start date.
Yeah, because the 13th was the Friday. The 13th was the Friday. Because I remember Friday.
I will be very honest. I remember here in Chicago finding out that they were canceling the St. Patrick's Day parade. And I was like, wait, well, shit is real.
Yeah. Shit does not fucking happen. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Apparently March 4th is the founding of Chicago. So happy birthday to my favorite city in the entire world. I love you so much. Nice. I do need to write a post about how we love Chicago and Chicago fucking wants us out. They keep sending floods and fires and all this other shit. They're like, please don't live on me. Anyway. So my problem with Katie Britt and with assuming that she is complicit in her own oppression because she's been tricked or because she's been taught something else, is that it denies the fact that there are layers of oppression and she is intentionally choosing a model that puts her layer at higher up than other limits.
Yep.
And when it comes to punching a Nazi, the thing is, she can say, I think life begins at conception. And so abortion is morally wrong for me. And I'm like, I totally understand. If that is your deeply held personal belief, I absolutely understand that. It is when she says, so you can't have an abortion, that it becomes, that I'm not being intolerant of your viewpoint. Your viewpoint is I'm not allowed to do something with my body that I want to because you believe something that you cannot prove. Zack Snyder, you could go ahead and fucking believe that a million people a day saw your movie for 6 years straight. It's a belief that you can't back up. So you are allowed to do whatever you want with your body according to my viewpoint. And your viewpoint is I have to do what you say. And that's why I can't be tolerant of what you say. And that's why I got to punch a fucking Nazi in the face. Because I say Nazis are allowed to be alive. And Nazis say your Jewish friends need to be killed. And I can't abide by that shit. That's the stuff that I can't let you believe that thing because it's dangerous for me and my friends.
Yeah. Yes to everything you just said, 100%. I would add that as long as we're talking about what gets weaponized, the quivering, and it was bad acting, by the way. I described it as a high school production of, wait, hold on, let me make sure I get this right. A high school production of Concerned Mom Goes to Washington. It was terrible. It was really bad.
Soap opera music over it and Sarah McLachlan over it.
The Sarah McLachlan one is classic. That's really good. Find it. It's really funny.
Inside the Actors Studio stuff. I mean, there's like so many things.
I was like, who is she fooling? And so part of what offends me about it is all the things that we're saying politically are at play, but also that she and some group of people, maybe it was just her people, maybe it was RNC, maybe who knows who, said, we got to sell this. How do we sell this? Oh, we sell this by you using a baby voice in a kitchen. And that's how we're going to defang that you're lobbying to be the vice presidential candidate with a rapist. But we need women to vote. So what are we going to do about that?
Sarah Palin,
Start of
dynamic. Yeah, where you go like, all we need is like a pretty mom with a, you know, super conservative attitude, you know, like a hockey mom vibe. It's like, she has to understand the concepts. Like she had, when she said across and put a T at the end of the word across, which I'm just like,
But I think what we dealt with last night is different, though. Because in a way that Sarah Palin was in on a certain part of the joke and definitely worked that like
nobody's business.
But this woman, what I'm saying here is she is, in other settings, a serious woman. I might disagree with her. I might find the thing she says offensive, horrifying, all the things.
but I promise you that when she's in their meetings and the tongue, you know, she doesn't talk like that.
Like, what the fuck was that? What was it? And I think, you know, it was, I frankly, horrifying when Boss was able to get there in 0.0 seconds. And I actually will call this out because it was fun. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also, like, a little scary. Like, I sat here going, like, this is how motherfuckers end up in jail. Right here. Like, we could be standing outside of Boss's apartment having a conversation about whether Roy should have gotten in a fight with Jamie. And the cops roll by, and Boss goes into that voice. Yep. That's the last you hear of Orlando. Yep. That's the last you hear of me.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's a real exactly, thing, like that Central Park guy. Like seriously, like, yes, and so
yes, when,
yep, using that voice is not like, oh, what a quaint choice. Like, that and is the fake dangerous crying stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
yes, right. It's all the weaponization of white women fragility in order to punish other people. And that is exact. Listen, I'm not saying every white woman, please don't come at me with this. You know, it's obviously not every single one, but there are too fucking many of us resort to, I am frail and gentle and need to be protected by a big, strong white man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost always racialized. There might be a few occasions mm-hmm. where it isn't entirely, but it's almost entirely racialized. And it is to make our attachment to white men even stronger because we are, I don't do this shit, like, fuck off. But too many women.
You are pretty dependent on me.
It is true.
I mean, you do sort of hang on my every word. I mean, we can check the tape, but I'm pretty sure you never disagree with me, and you kind of just go along with everything I say.
No, I 100% agree with that, Rascal. So what I was going to say about the voice is that, so actually one of my favorite things on TikTok, because God bless Gen Z, kids, please save the world. Like, I want to take some of the pressure.
They're damn good.
Off of black women's shoulders and put it onto the next generation of people. Please, please, goddamn save us. But one of my favorite things is that they will categorize haircuts as feminine or mask, like masculine or feminine. They don't say like a men's haircut or a woman's haircut. And they also have like
interesting
people of any gender moving across that spectrum. And so what I do not want to do is demonize femininity itself. This is a performative version of especially fragile femininity in order to make other people feel like they need to rescue.
To support the patriarchy.
If Rachel Ray were running for you know, whatever, and was in the kitchen, I'd be like, okay.
But yeah, that fucking makes sense. Although Rachel Ray has that deep husky voice that I'm into. That's a different thing. It's
I'm much more on that.
Before we move too far, I would like to say that my younger brother thinks Rachel Ray pretty hot. He's into the shorter, sort of thicker ladies is his jam. So Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks.
That boy's got taste.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Anyway.
It's not my thing, but I, you know what I'm saying?
No, no, no.
When you say, I understand your thing. I got it.
I understand where you're coming from with that. I like that. Mm-hmm. So I think I do not want to in any way demonize things that are traditionally seen as being womanly. Like, I don't want parenting, having children, cooking, fucking arts and crafts, all of the shit that women standardly have done. It's not that those are bad. It is this very rigid system that says those are things that women do and only women do them. And also a lot of society also says they're worse than the things men do. Like, there is a judgment call on both of them.
Correct.
But, like, if you are an extremely gentle, kind, quiet, sort of feminine dude, I'm good with that. I'm totally fine. That is not a problem. It is this way of...
Thank you.
Of course. But it's really, it's this way. It is women...
I feel seen.
As wolves in sheep's clothing. Like, they are wrapping themselves in this softness in 100%. Order to hide the fact that they are coming for your fucking birth control. I need everybody in the country to know.
Yes.
This is not an exaggeration.
Yes.
They are trying to come for that.
Yes. 100% to what you just said. And I think because what you spoke about earlier was the strengthening of the bond to, you know, traditional power, let's say, right? But also it's a masking of it. Because
she is
coming for your fucking birth control.
Oh my
but
God.
She uses that baby doll voice, and it's unthinkable that she's dangerous in any way. And I'm like, she's dangerous in all the fucking ways.
Don't defang this.
Like, this is, you know.
When you see this, you're conditioned to think, oh, that's, she's pretty. You know, she's diminutive. Nice. Yeah, whatever.
Look at that cross.
You should have the same reaction as if you saw like a real life vampire, or like a werewolf about to. She's a clear and present danger. And lest anyone thinks that we're exaggerating, I invite you. I feel so badly for Katie Britt. Go watch that interview she did the very next morning on Fox and Friends, where she triples down and you hear her lie over and over again and how everything was better with the previous administration. You just go, okay, like you're a fucking nutcase. And I'm really sorry that this is the way it went for you. But like you are actively trying to take women's rights away. And you're a cog in their machine. And so,
this is also a way where they could say, well, how could I be sexist? We had a woman do it. It's like, because she can be like, I have had so many conversations before with intelligent people who are politically savvy, who will say, I don't understand why poor white people would vote for the Republican Party when the Republican Party has policies that make their situation worse. And I say, well, it's because of racism. And they're like, well, you can't say that they're just racist. Like, maybe they're in the Republican Party because Democrats call them racist. And I'm like, no, it's because they are getting something out of the Republican Party. And that something is, under this system, even when they are poor, they are somehow still regarded as more highly than other races. And that gives them a sense of power. I'm talking too much. But I've talked, obviously. Come on now.
Happy International Women's Day.
Right. Yeah. I was like, wait, what? Is that where we started this? Here we go.
I'm just a pretender.
I don't really. I can't. Oh, women.
I am letting this point run away from me entirely. But I know that I've talked about the band Bright Eyes before and the album I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning. So that album has two songs. The first one is At the Bottom of the Ocean. I think I need to double check that. And the other one is Road to Joy. It's the beginning and the end of the album. And between the two of them, they have lines that basically sum up everything I believe about society. And the first one is, in Road to Joy, he says, no one ever plans to sleep out in the gutter. Sometimes that's just the most comfortable place. And the other one is, and into the face of every criminal strapped firmly to a chair, we must stare, we must stare, we must stare. Just in case you wanted to know about the fun side of the album. Anyway, but the line about no one wants to sleep in the gutter, it's just the most comfortable place. What I will always 100% firmly believe is that whatever choices you have made have benefited you in some way, shape, or form. Maybe not exactly the way that you wanted to. Right. But if you picked you picked it because there is something about it that made you feel better or made your life better, or you thought it would and you were wrong. But if you vote for the party of the racist, sexist, homophobic assholes, it is because you have a connection to the racism, the sexism, or the homophobia. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you about that.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm so glad you raised that. And I do want to bring this back to the gender conversation because it is International Women's Day, not just International Who Pisses Off Orlando Day. But because that's every fucking day. That's like White History Month.
That's like White Boy. No, man, it ain't White Boy Day. All right, go right ahead.
But I really do think it's important to be on. Oh, no, I lost it. Fuck around with the White Boy Day. I did. I actually did. I went, wait a minute.
It's also International ADHD Day.
Where were we left off? Where did Boss leave us off?
I don't know what to tell you about that.
Oh, it's the desire to do what you just said, though, and then want to hide your hands. So it's like, I'm going to vote for the racist, homophobic, xenophobic option but I don't like that part. I just like the other. I'm like, hold on, slow down. Like those new Jason Alexander commercials. I'm like, you don't get to yada yada. Racism, yes. Yeah. Homophobia, yeah, 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 yeah. And rape, yeah. Culture. Like, that's not yada yada. Like, that's not what that is at all. And I think we've put people in a position where they don't have as much power as maybe they should. But then I think it's also taught us all to figure out the fastest way to say, I don't have any power in this situation, so you can't hold me responsible for what comes from it. And I think we all have to be responsible for what comes from it. Like, there's a, you know, there'll be people who are like, well, you know, certain former presidents were never my he was never my president. He's not my president. I was like, no, he's my president. Like, I didn't figure out how to get my team, yes, over the, yep, finish, you know what I mean? Like, we lost. Like, we lost. And so I don't get to say that. Like, whatever rules exist in this system, that person became president. And so I gotta
just love your country when you win, coach.
Hey, Joe, great line, Joe, by the way. Great line. But I think Joe Biden was on it there. And I remember when I was backing, and I beat this drum a lot, when I was backing Bernie Sanders, and I'm sure our international listeners are just like, wow, this is super fascinating, guys. But when I was, you know, I'm backing Bernie, and at one point I was like, hey, guess what? Like, I don't even know all the ways how, but backing Bernie's going to cost me.
Yeah,
I was like, it is going to personally cost me dollars if I get my way. I just think it's worth it, but I can't back Bernie, yep, and then when the taxes come be like, well, you know, I wasn't for that part. Like, fuck you. Like, you know, like, that part makes the other part possible.
Yep.
And I feel like I've been stunned, like, absolutely blown away by the number of people who've tried to hide in the certain clown area of voting because they, oh, but I don't like that part. Oh, really? You don't like that part? Okay. Well, that's major fucking part.
Yeah. 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 It's one of those where, I always love when people say, well, I don't want my tax dollars going for that. And I'm like, oh, do you want to know all the things I don't want my tax dollars going for? Because either we're in a society or we're not. And if you want to not be, we can see how that goes. But we already did that. Like 100,000 years ago,
which is why we made societies,
got to this place. Also, before we move on too much or end the episode, I'm not sure exactly where we're at this point, because I've just been ranting, knocking in that door, bro. part of the issue
from the Republican Party,
they would not waste their time on me. I got so little influence. Part of what bothers me so much about this idea that we are going to, quote unquote, return to a previous America where the wives got to stay home, take care of the kids, and everything was idyllic and it was Leave It to Beaver, is that they had laws in the South that said Black women needed to be employed. Legally, a Black woman could not be a stay-at-home mom. She had to be employed, usually in a white household.
Can I tell you something? I have a degree in African American studies. And I have been Black my whole life.
That's not a thing.
I never knew that. Straight up taught me that. Like, right.
Yes. Yeah.
Now.
I'm not saying I was today years old.
Like, when people say, I was today years old when I found that piece of information out.
Yeah. And I am not saying that it was, like, federally mandated extremely widespread. But it was very much enforced. I will also say that my dad was one of 11 kids who grew up on the South Side of Chicago, Irish Catholic family, poor as shit, like absolutely did not have money. And they had a full-time nanny / caretaker, a lady come clean their house, cook for them. Because this is how fucked up shit was when my parents were children.
Right. A Black woman?
Of course, a Black woman. Oh. Her name was Mabel. I met her one time. She was very, very nice. But yeah, no. Because even when you were a dirt poor white person,
yeah,
American society, when we are the most fucked up we can be, would mean that you would have enough money to pay a black woman to come take care of your 11 children.
Now you're making me want to make America great again. I mean, as a dirt poor white person, let me tell you, you're painting a hell of a picture there.
Fucking God.
Have you seen the videos? The help. And I swear I'll be quick. But have you seen the videos where they ask, like, they dead up just asked people, like, so when you say again, like, what era? And just mess people become instantly, because like, what can you possibly say? Like, literally, if you said, well, I mean, yesterday, it's still a racist, sexist mess. Like, like, there's not any part of the country's history that isn't that mess.
Sumeria had some real fun.
Sure. Yeah. No. Listen.
On international. Go ahead, boss.
If I could time travel, I would absolutely 100% immediately go back to Chicago in 1892 to see the World's Fair. It would be my first stop if I had a time machine. And then I would get my ass immediately back to the present and not hang out there because there was a serial killer killing women on the South Side. So, like, I fucking know.
Oh, that was like Devil in the White City, right?
Was Devil in the White City. Yeah. Okay, yeah. H.H. Holmes. Yep. And I would also like to very quickly... shout out to high school English teacher Judy Bunch, who taught a class called Great Books. Fucking loved it. She was fucking amazing. I loved her. She said in one of our classes, anytime that you think things were better in the past, remember that we have been fixing every error that they made. So anything that is getting better is more better today than it was yesterday.
I love... people are so... nostalgia is a really, really hardcore drug. It always makes me think of the Chris Rock stand-up where he says, no white person from any era in history would ever switch places with me, and I'm rich.
And I'm rich.
Yes.
And you go like, oh my God. Well, this is a... it's on International Women's Day. I want to point out that... the Republican Party in North Carolina has nominated a man for the governorship who thinks women should lose the right to vote.
So is that for real?
That's real.
On video. You can just go watch him say it.
what the fuck is happening?
So when we say, like, what the fuck, like that reaction that I referenced before of Coach, where you go like, what the hell? Like, I really would love to have a kumbaya. You know me. I want everyone to be happy. I want everyone to be the best
help
version
society.
Of themselves.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Help economy, right? Help society, right? Let's all come together. But it's very difficult when the gap is so wide. You can't even agree on basic terms. Like, does everybody have dignity? No, only some people. Only some people get dignity.
Right. Okay. Right. You're like, wait.
Like, I guess we're not friends. Like, where's the path? Where's the road home? It is wonderful, though. It is wonderful that we have made progress. It is wonderful when Ketanji Brown Jackson walk into Supreme Court Justice, enter the room last night for the State of the Union, and people are cheering, and you just go, pushed forward in many ways. We have a long fucking way to go. And as the token white man on this podcast, and the person who boss says we're the product of our own choices, I somehow chose to put boss on a podcast with me. It must have benefited.
Yeah, man, that's on you.
Yeah, that's on me. I will say that white men, specifically white men, have to do much better. Like, find a woman and big her up, you know, like, find a woman and amplify her voice and push forward as a team, because ultimately we're all in this together. And like, the road that rolls out in front of us is long. It's long. We have a long, long way to go. That's it for us today. We wanted to have a very special episode. This is a little bit off of our normal. Usually we would weave these topics into something else, but it was important enough that I wanted to talk about it and just put it out there. It was jarring to see that rebuttal last night, and it's been on the minds of everybody today, and they're talking about it in colleges, and they're talking about it in, you know, in coffee shops all over the country and all over the world. And, you know, to our international friends who listen to this, it's like, I remember I've said this in season one when we first did this, but I remember I was traveling in, where were we? We were in Denmark at the time. I was playing soccer with a team from the US, and I was hanging out with my best friend on the team. It was my buddy Jamal, and a big, I mean, just this, God, he's so tall.
Scottish dude?
Yeah, Scottish dude.
There it is.
Beautiful, beautiful black man who, God, he's an unbelievable soccer player. I would play wing and just chip it in, and he would head everything. The guy was unbelievable. And I remember we were walking around, and then this team from San Marino, it was all black players. He walked right up to this team. I remember they had these orange jerseys. You always walked around in jerseys. We had our Team USA, you know, whatever jerseys on. He had, they had all the San Marino jerseys on. And he walked right up to him. I kind of backed off because I just noticed like something was happening. And I was like, you know, so he was just shaking hands with everybody, right? And I stood back. I just, for some reason, I don't even know why I didn't waltz in, but I guess I had some inkling, whatever. And so he said, hi, everybody. And then he came back to me and I was like, do you know those guys? He's like, no, man, but like, we're black. We've all been through the same shit. And for those people listening, yes, the location happens to be the United States of America, where this, you know, we're referencing all these things, but women all over the world have been through the same shit. You know,
just
it's pertinent in that way. Yeah.
In their coach and something that you said about white men, I think men in general, I think wherever you have privilege, if you are saying, you know, I want the world to be better, find ways to be that person. Like if you're a man in a place where sexism is taken out, like take your place against it. And I just saw a story real quick. Loretta Swit, I wanted to make sure I had the right actors. Loretta Swit, they are in a meeting about MASH, right? So it's back in the day, whatever, let's say season three, whatever. And people pitch ideas for their stories. And her stories are always politely declined. Like her ideas, right? And it apparently had been happening over time. She noticed it. So at some point she pitches, my character should whatever. And it gets a polite decline. And 10 minutes later, McLean Stevenson says it, work like the same idea and gets the response, oh, that's great. Yeah, maybe we should try that. At which point McLean Stevenson says, I'm curious why you think it's a good idea now, but you didn't think it was a good idea 10 minutes ago
when yes. said
it. And I yes. was like, fuck yes. yeah.
Slow, right? Slow
that's,
clap.
That's yes. what you do. Not
that's
only
what you do. Like,
he amplified, first of all, he amplified what she had to say, and then he said, hey, by the way, we got to cut this shit out. Like, you call it out. You have the courage yes. to stand up in that room and say, I benefit from this, but yeah, I'm not interested in benefiting from it anymore. We should
sit in a bath of your own sexism, you fucking
that's
troglodytes.
It. Right now it's doing it. I was so excited when I read that story. And I just think, like, be McLean Stevenson, whatever, wherever you are, if you're physically able in a way that other people aren't, like, yeah, like, yeah, we get it. I can walk up the stairs, but not everybody can walk up the stairs. So make sure there's a goddamn ramp. Like, whatever it is, if we each do that, then that's how we get there.
Absolutely. I love it.
I love this.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Shh, boss. No.
I know. I already talked. I was
first
about...
of all, boss. You're not even in a kitchen, so I don't even understand what's happening here.
I know. I was about to do the voice to punish Castleton, but I was worried that it would hurt Bishop too much, so I'm going to refrain.
Bishop hasn't even purchased eggs or been in a carpool lane.
I want to live in an America where my daughters know they can abuse the system as much as I have. Oh, and the reason God. My kitchen is so clean is because I'm not yeah. a stay-at-home mom like no, I'm making yeah. you guys be. I'm a fucking senator.
I'm like, you're a senator. What is fucking happening here? What is happening?
I just want to point, I don't think anyone's bringing this up, but apparently Katie Britt is married to a former NFL player named Wesley Britt. And I'm like, I'd like to say like, hey Wesley, like, so this is how you do it, huh? Like, this,
oh yeah.
Want to talk about anything? Like, you think this is because I think a certain demographic is going to be like, yes, he's really got the right way. They have the right values.
Yeah.
That's the way he's really controlled his woman properly.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
He's been such a powerful head of the family that he has turned his wife into a powerful woman also, because he's that strong. Also, I am terrified about the number of like quiverful or like fundamentalist white evangelical baby girls in 9 months whose full name is going to be Katie Britt. Like, just their first name. And here we got a little Katie Britt.
Katie Britt!
Clady Britt.
That's funny.
Katie Britt McClain, you get in here right now. It's going to happen.
I saw unironically on TikTok, a guy said, you know, this is his whole TikTok this morning. He said, he was a Southern gentleman with a Southern accent. He said, it's just me, but I'm sitting on my couch thinking, Katie Britt, 2028. And I was like,
no.
Can you imagine? Like, it's so like. No. See, you hear shit like that, and yikes. You got to be brought back to it. And I do. I have trouble with this. My therapist will verify that a big issue for Orlando is he expects others. He expects himself and others, and that's not how things work. And to me, I find that moment as or more horrifying than anything else we've discussed here. Because that a sentient, and I'm serious about this, that a sentient human being sat and watched that ridiculous performance and thought, there's the future I'm talking about. I'm like, what the fuck?
Listen, that's what I'm saying. What? I tweeted about it last night, how it was worse than Bobby Jindal, just for my friends, basically. Or people, you know, like the people that follow this podcast, whatever, and it got 100,000 or 92,000. What it was up there, like before this podcast was up thousands of love, right? And in it, I said, like, Jesus, this is creepy. I think the tweet was like, I thought Bobby Jindal gave the worst rebuttal speech, but then Katie Britt was like, hold my beer. And some of the responses were hysteric. They're like, oh, it's really funny. You think her husband lets her drink, you know, things like that. Like,
that's funny.
But then people, you know, of course the opposition came into the tweets and they're like, you look creepy. And I'm like, oh yeah. Project onto me. Yeah. I'm sure. Like that's, so you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe, but people are really going to defend her. They're going to think like, you know, within a certain segment of the population, she will get a lot of credit. But listen, it's a disaster. It's a Hindenburg for the Republican Party. Go to Rolling Stone magazine has an article right now where it's something like they talk about all the Republicans who are, you know, dragging her and being like, this is a disaster. And, you know, so whatever it is what it is. I would love to continue talking, but see, the woman in my life who has trained me to be a driver who picks her up from the airport will be displeased with me if I continue. Rush to Logan Airport. So
yeah, off you go.
Boss,
I don't need that smoke.
You don't want none of this smoke. Boss, where can people find you if they want to find you?
You can find me on Blue Sky. It is Dumbly Chambers, also on Threads, which is emily.chambers.31. If you check my Twitter, the information is there, and my Twitter is in the show notes. Also, I promise writing, God damn it, I need to take off a week and just fucking write for The Antagonist, which is antagonistblog.com. Possibly writing something about my thoughts on Poor Things, which I just watched last night, which is a movie where a woman acts in the way that we hear men tell us all the time, be more rational, be more reasonable, and don't be so emotional. And then a woman behaves that way, and they call her mad. And it's pretty good. I like it. It was Emma Stone, came out last year. Check it out.
Yeah. What's it called?
Poor Things.
Poor Things. It's Yorgos Lanthimos. He's
that was.
Yeah, so, I don't know it.
He's great.
Say that. Say that one more time.
Yorgos Lanthimos. He's a Greek.
There we go.
He's a Greek boy.
I love it. Yorgos.
I think I knew her in high school. Had that. You take some antibiotics, you clear that right away. It's so childish. Coach, I just love that. I don't know. I just like, you know, like there's just certain jokes that you just like over your lifetime. Oh, and that out. For me automatic. Is just, I just yep. boom, boom.
Automatic. Boom. Anyway. Where do people find you, Coach?
I actually have a specific one right now for We Align. If you have a team, sales team, whatever kind of, literally any kind of team, like you're all on together on a multi-level marketing, I want to test out the work we're doing on a team that I'm not a part of. So be in touch. So not only come check out We Align, but if you have a team, I can get you guys a whole bunch of strategy work for a great price because I want to do some experiments.
Okay. Please be guinea pigs for Coach. For me, I want to say, I want to thank my state senator, Elizabeth Warren, who is a hero of mine, and I just think the world of her.
I love her.
Just love her so much. There's this great picture of her last night at the State of the Union with her fist in the air that I like kind of want to blow up and put behind my, on my wall here. Just love her. And I want to thank United States women's soccer goalkeeper, Alyssa Nair, because she is a longtime member of the team. She's a goalie. Goalies always get shit on. And Alyssa Nair is very soft-spoken and doesn't say a lot. And she's not one of the like really dramatic people. But when like the U.S. Solo. When U.S. was – no, not like Hope Solo. when the U.S. was knocked out of the World Cup by in a shootout with Sweden, Alyssa Nair was amazing, but she was the one that let in the goal that was like a millimeter, if anybody remembers that picture of where it's like a 1 millimeter. And yesterday, the U.S. played Canada in the Gold Cup, and not only did she save 3 of 5 shots, but she came in and scored in the shootout to have the U.S. advance. And I love the Canadian coach, Bev Priestman. She's one of my favorite coaches on the planet. But I was really proud and really happy. For it felt like some pay, you know, just some like some what's the word? You know what I'm saying? Like that she's I can't think of the word. Vindication for Alyssa Nair. That's the word. She's just a great player for a long time. And so yes, I wanna call her out. Thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you to our wonderful Buttercups, who are vastly and predominantly women. We thank you for taking this ride with us and talking through all these issues. Thanks for being part of our listener community. Please support your local libraries and the written word. And until next time, we remain
Richmond.
Richmond till we die.
I don't want to die, but if this black man keeps talking to me so loud and it's so goddamn scary,
I'll call a cop. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you next time.
The TEDcast is a joint venture between Pajiba and The Antagonist. Visit us at pajiba.com and antagonistblog.com.